Okay, so we're recording now. We're just gonna go lucha. It doesn't make sense. Ew, they're got feet. Can you hear that?
You kind of sound like you're underwater a little bit.
It sounds like someone's typing.
I don't hear it. It's probably at your end. And I just was watching Ghost Hunters or Ghost Adventures, so I'm scared now. You're saying that. That's creepy.
There it goes. Ah! What is that? Wait a minute. Move your little microphone. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Move that. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's on my hair. Not a ghost. Is that better?
So far, let's see. Go again. Like, just kind of. See, that's what it's. That sound is not.
I hear that.
Yeah, it's still doing it.
Damn. Let me see if you can. Let me see what it sounds like without it. How's this?
Yeah, that's fine. You know what? Okay. I feel like I have the same looking headphones you have there, and I have issues with them too, and I want them to work so bad. So when you were like, damn, I felt your pain, because the ones I have, because I love like blue, and like it's this really pretty sky blue, you know?
Yeah.
And I want them to work so bad, and they just don't.
They're the Beats. They're actually great, but everyone knows that the Beats are not great.
Labels. That's all they are. That's all they really are. But anyways, it's great to see you. We've been chatting on like texting and stuff like that, but it's always nice to see you in person. This is why, like, there's a couple of my friends that have taken me up on this, but that's why I tell some of my girlfriends, I'm like, look, let's like do a virtual happy hour or just like kick it. And I'm like, I make it clear to them, I'm not recording. It's not for any of my shenanigans. Like, there's just a difference in seeing someone's face.
Yes, I agree. And I feel like I've been working so much and I see people that I don't want to see. So it's nice to be able to get in front of someone I want to see.
Yay. So what I was doing when I was preparing for this over here, and I was waiting for you to call in, I was like, you know, I'm going to take some pictures right now, because long story short, my health has been like crap lately. So today's a day like I actually feel good. So I was like, I better get these pictures now. And I thought, you know what? I got to get a real clickbaity like picture for this episode. So what do you think of this? This is what I came up with. Real clickbaity.
That is the most clickbaity picture I've seen you take.
Okay, so here, I'll let you just look at it again. So yes. What I was thinking when I did this picture, which by the way, it was one take and I got it, is in my head I said, yep, me and ACR talking shit again. And that's the face I made.
So it's like natural.
Yeah.
Very much an actress.
It was legit. I know people aren't going to see that in that photo at all, but it was almost like to all of our haters and the people that hate watch us, it was like directed towards them. Like I had certain people in my mind and I was like, yeah, that we're still doing this. Yes. Hi.
So with our last chat that we did, shit talking, I had a few people in the wrestling business be like, but everybody talks shit, but everybody talks shit. And I said, hey, look, but no one makes it into a video and puts it out there. It's always hidden. It's always like gossip behind the scenes. No, we're just putting it in your face.
Well, speaking of gossip, you know, I heard some gossip about myself. Don't you love when you hear gossip about yourself?
Oh, what's the story now?
Okay, so you know it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. I'm going to put this episode up tomorrow for everyone. And by the way, look at this lovely model over here for Vampire Girl shirt. You know, you could get it in Vampire Guy. It also comes in Vampire Girl in pink now. If you go to goodvibrationsboutique.com and guess what? Use the code ACR. You save yourself 10%. And so there you have it right there. Look at this beautiful model. Influencer extraordinaire.
Like when I was getting dressed, I texted you. I was like, what are we wearing? And you're like, oh, I'm going to show some cleavage. And I was actually looking at my dresser at the time. And I was like, and I saw it. I was like, oh, I've been wanting to wear this. So I put it on. And honestly, it's so comfortable. It's so comfortable. You know how there's a lot of wrestler shirts that are just kind of itchy?
Yeah.
No, this, I can breathe in it. I don't even have to wear a bra for my titties to look fantastic.
And they do. Look at them. Ladies and gents, let's give those boobies a hand or a clap. A clap. There.
Shake your titties, please.
My boobies clap for you all day long.
You're funny. That was crazy.
We got to get views, you know? We got to get our views.
I feel like I have to share with everyone that's watching the accessories that I brought for this, because these are things that make sense to me when you talk shit with Shelly. Okay. First things first, I always need my Coke Zero. I have another one. Like, this is what I'm going to be drinking all day. Coffee for the energy. Okay. The second one, ready to go. Bottle of rosé. Cheap bottle of rosé. So that's going to go on. That's going to be the actual fuel where I get honest, right? My nicotine vape. It matches.
It matches.
It matches, yeah. And definitely my Carmex, because you can't talk shit with chapped lips.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I think we should do this every time. And so what I brought to prepare with going with the lips that needed to be high, it has been crazy here in SoCal. Like right now, like you guys, if I pass out, you know, ACR, go ahead and like hit up my sister and tell her to come check on me, because it is like summertime right now. And the vampire lair is out here where there's not much ventilation. So it's like, it's been intense. So I got my lip gloss here.
Oh yeah, good.
Lip gloss, guys, keep those hydrated. And let's see here. I don't want to get in trouble with the YouTubes, because I've gotten in trouble with the YouTubes before. But the YouTubes. But here's the thing: for our fans that get to see on our pages to our members the uncut version, I'll just make this a blank screen for YouTube. But my friend Megan Jones, shout out to Megan Jones, on my birthday last year, she was in town and she came and hung out with me. We had sushi here at the house. She got me this bong that is a Simpsons bong.
That's so you.
This is so effing cute. I just effing can't. And so I don't use it often because I don't want to like eff it up. But I forgot to buy rubbing alcohol, so my daily one's really gross and I just can't with it right now. I have an awesome vaporizer I've been using, but like because I've been using it so much, I'm like, I want the bong for this. And then I got this, and you'll love this. Okay, so this liqueur I have here, it's called Cuckoo Liqueur. They're on Instagram, you should check them out. I'll tag them when I post this video and everything. First of all, look how cute this label is. Like, it's so effing cute. Oh my gosh. So a couple years back, I went to this Halloween kind of event thing. And there was a bunch of like different little like table set up where there was like different kinds of specialty cocktails and stuff. And it was like companies getting a chance to get their products out there. So this company was there. And when we did the tasting, it was so amazing because it's strong and it's chocolatey, but it's like not too sweet. So you don't feel like you're like being, I guess, bad. And a little bit goes a long way. And it was so good, and we bought a bottle, but then we couldn't find it anywhere. And then when we moved, we forgot the bottle somewhere because we always kept it to try to remember what it was. And so for years, I've been trying to search them, and I finally found them like sometime at the end of last year. So I ended up connecting with the dude. I bought a case. Sure did. He was having this awesome sale because I guess he's changing the label. So he has a bunch of the old labels that he's trying to get rid of. So I was like,
I get rid of the bottles.
Bring it my way. So I'll be taking a shot of that at some point because I haven't had it yet. So it'll be a real like blast from the past to have it. And I thought with this Valentine's kind of theme, it was appropriate. Chocolate, talking shit. Hey, why not, you know?
Chocolate and talking shit for V-Day.
So I heard this rumor pop. And the rumor was I had dated this guy and I ended up breaking up with him. And his next girlfriend that he had, he ended up telling her that I cheated on him with a famous wrestler. And it was so crazy to me because when this gal told me this, and this is the girlfriend as now his ex-girlfriend. So I know it's not like it's gossip straight from her. So I totally believe it. And I just thought that that was like when we knew we were going to be here talking some shit. It's Valentine's Day. You know, I thought it would set the mood of like what talking shit's all about. Because it's like that rumor's out there about me. So it makes me wonder, is that his like line he tells people when they're like, oh, you used to date Shelly Martinez. And then he's like, yeah, well, she cheated on me with Dolph Ziggler. No, I was with Dolph Ziggler in my OVW days. You can look it up. There's my clickbait. So you can look it up. It's very easily found out there. But if anyone is out there, like I'm gonna look at the dot instead of the ACR. If you're out there, ladies, and you've heard this rumor about me and you are dating this said person, no, it's out there. It is out there that in my OVW days, that's when I was dating Dolph Ziggler. He was not Dolph Ziggler to me. He will never be Dolph Ziggler to me. He's Nick Nemeth. And yes, I dated Nick Nemeth back in that day. So if, and just to put to rest, I know the last time we were here, I talked about another rumor that I heard I had to put to rest. Well, this is another one that, you know, I think needs to be brought up out there because the fact, and here's what's funny about it is I'm always very transparent with guys I date, especially in wrestling. If they want to know who I've dated or I've hooked up with, I'll say. And it sucks because, you know, it's not like how we talked before. I was trying to like, you know, be all wild. I thought all these guys were my potential next boyfriends. Like, you know, I'm stupid.
No, I think it was sweet though, because I feel like that's really what it was back in the day, in the old fashioned days. That's how dating was. You didn't use people. You didn't manipulate people. It wasn't, well, I didn't live in the old fashioned days. I was in diapers, but nowadays I know that with our generation, we're using people. So what you are feeling to me is natural, while others in our generation might feel that it's naive. You know, do you feel me on that?
I do. And here's the thing. This is what I'll also say about Nick Nemeth. He broke my heart. And the reason why he did, though, it was in the most honest way. So I'll say this, like, this is just my experience with him. I don't know what his experience is with anyone else he's dated or anything like that. But I was very clear with him because we were friends first. So I was very clear with him, like, I want you to be my boyfriend. And he was very straight up and he said, look, I don't know where my career is going right now because he was off TV. Like he was not on the Spirit Squad anymore. So like, it was like when he had that break and that's why he was back at OVW. And then at that time, that's when I was transitioning out of OVW to be on the road full time. And so he was like, I'm just really focused on my career because I don't know where it's going to be. And so like as a wrestler, because he was my friend, I will say this. I knew it wasn't a line. I believed him because he didn't know what was going to happen because the Spirit Squad at one point was like getting this huge push and all this. So I can only imagine now he's like, oh my gosh, it's my next thing I'm going to be released because now I'm back at OVW. So like I didn't feel like he was blowing me off. I felt like, damn, he's right. Because
well, if you know how wrestlers are, they're not going to say that at all if they're playing you.
And that's what I'm saying. So I respect it. It was so hard to hear. It was so hard to hear.
Yeah.
Because I was like, but no, because we mesh so well. And like, you know, and he was very not secretive. Like amongst our peers, they saw us show up places together. They saw us be like, there's pictures on my MySpace back in the day. Like, people knew that, like, we weren't boyfriend and girlfriend, but like, we were dating. And so what ended up happening is I just got too attached. I just got too
again.
And I just remember being at a bar crying, just being like, why? Pathetic.
Don't you like, okay, I feel like we've all been through something like this. Isn't it majorly kind of funny but cringe at the same time when you're like, why did I put myself in that situation? So cringe.
So pathetic. And here's why, because I'm going to say this. During this whole like friends but we're hooking up kind of thing, I guess friends with benefits, but it was a little bit more in my opinion.
I know what you mean by that.
And it was a little bit more, so that's why I don't give it that. I would, like, I've been that with people before, but it wasn't really that in this case. So the thing is like, when I was going through a really rough time, I had gotten fired. I moved back to California. You know, even though I was with TNA, like, I was young and I was butthurt that I just got the F fired, and it didn't have to do with me not doing a good job. So it was just crazy. And then I would vent to Nemeth, you know, because I went to him as my friend. I knew he wasn't going to be my boyfriend. I already had that crying night. It was understood, but I felt like I can go to him because he understood, because at that, oh my gosh, I'm getting emotional. I can't believe this. At that time, I remember feeling like when he was in OVW, he must have felt like this. And that like, oh my gosh. And so he would text me these like positive things, and he would be like, positive vibes. And I wanted to choke him. Like, that's the last thing I want to hear right now. Positive vibes and all these inspirational things, like, whatever. And by the way, why didn't you want to be my boyfriend? It always went back to that. So when, like, life, I kind of started healing more, that's when I was really grateful that even though we weren't meant to be a couple, he was always very straightforward with me, which I didn't see that in the business, like, you know, like that. Like, he was very, he knew it was going to hurt my feelings, but he had to tell me. And I feel maybe that has to do with because we did have that friendship at first, you know? And so I'm now known as the girl that says positive vibes. And I don't think people realize it really came from.
You are known as the girl that says positive vibes. I stole that from you.
And that's fine. Continue to.
Yes.
But when I finally got it and I understood what he was saying, because I was ready, because I was too hurt to hear it. That's why I was like, ugh, positive vibes. Like, why aren't you my boyfriend? Positive vibes. Like, ugh. But later in life, I was like, you know what? He wasn't meant to be my boyfriend, but he was put in my life at different times where, like, it really changed, even just this positive vibes. And then when I was able to finally understand what he had been telling me, that's when a whole shift within my being changed. And then that's how I had a totally different outlook in life. And that's when I became Miss Positive Vibes USA.
You would say you need to get yourself that nice, like, what are they called? What they wear at the pageants? You need to get that.
Those little sashes.
Now you need to get one. But you know what, like, with the, you know, I don't know if you ever heard about this, but there's very, like, the Zen spiritualism that exists out there that people believe in. And it's all, everyone describes it differently, but the best way I could describe it is there's sometimes people are meant to be put into your life to awaken something in you. And a lot of the times these awakenings feel like crushes. They feel very sexual, high, like, in nature. And yeah, we want them to be our boyfriend or our girlfriend. We want to marry them. We want to have their kids. But really, they're awakening something inside. And because we're not aware of this awakening happening, we confuse it with those feelings. And so you end up saying, why won't you be my boyfriend? Because he was really meant to be put in your life to awaken something new. And there's various things. You don't wake up one time. I feel like I wake up just like every morning, physically, spiritually, I'm always learning something new and accepting newer things that I didn't accept before. That's what I think happened there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, kind of on that vibe, I feel like that's why there's people who I look back at, like, on, and I'm like, I wish I never hooked up with them, because, like, as we talked about in that last episode, I take that stuff very serious. Just like with Nemeth, like, when I was single, I would follow him on social media because he is the one that entered positive vibes into me. You know, mm-hmm. One way or another, he did. But anyways, we gotta get the views. This is for the views. And I feel he wouldn't care. Like, he would be all about, I'm trying to just get views.
Positive vibes.
But, and here's even going even more, telling more cheese man on that. So if people out there remember, and if maybe you do as well, there was a time where he was dating that actress, Amy Schumer. Mm-hmm. So I remember he and I were just friends at that time. And I remember who was with me? It was one of those things that somebody that was like the homie at the time, I'm not even friends with them anymore, was like, can you give me tickets? And so Nemeth got me some tickets to when they were in town. And I went, and I'm really glad I did, because I wasn't interested in going back. So I was able to kind of just be just a fan with my friends. You know what I mean? So it was really cool. But anyway,
freeing.
What was that?
That's freeing.
Yeah. And I really like, so I'm very appreciative about that. And so I remember him telling me, he was like, I'm just letting you know that everyone's getting together at this one place after, but I am meeting somebody there for a date. So I'm just letting you know that up front. And again, I thought, no guy has ever really talked to me like that before. Like, to be like, remember, we're just friends and you're totally invited. We're all going to be here. But here's the thing. And so I feel like that's why, to me, I've really put him on a pedestal at times. And he's another person that I know that, if I were to, when I did reach out and we were just friends and we weren't messing around and it was just that, like, he was one of the, like, the very few people that ever got back to me and wasn't shady about it, like, secretive about it. You know what I mean? So here we are at the Valentine's, we need the views. So I felt like that's a cool time to just try to, I've never talked about this stuff, but I wasn't even ready. It's not even about the views really, but it's like, I think people would be interested to hear that kind of behind the scenes thing, because my fans know me as positive vibes, and it like came from this guy. Growing up, I didn't have positive males. So it's like you were saying, these crushes or these little situations I've gotten myself in, it's like I put some of them on too much of a pedestal because they did like spark this thing in me. And I think that's why I've been disappointed when it's my fault. I put like expectations, like you're like, would never be a person to do that. And then I find out they're kind
of. You should say it's your fault. I don't agree with that statement. I don't. Because that is a very natural emotion. And to say, oh, it's my fault. It's like saying you let yourself down. You made bad decisions. I don't think that's a bad decision. Someone was making you feel good. And you followed the positive vibes. That's all it is. So don't talk down about yourself like that.
No, it's not like that. It's not a talking down. It's more like it helps me now not do that, so that I don't continue to get disappointed like that. Because you know me more than anybody when I say this. I was just talking about you to my friend that I was around recently. I said, you know, I knew she was my homegirl when there was a time, people, where ACR was a friend of somebody that I had a falling out with. And so I will never forget, you and I, we went to go medicate, and you said straight up, like before we even started to relax, you said, look, I'm friends with both of you, And whatever's going on is between you both. I love both of you, but that's between you guys. So I'm just letting you know that. And then there was a couple times I tried to tell you, but I don't understand. And you're like, look, you have to talk to her. Like, and I respected that so much. Kind of going back with the thing with Nemeth, it was like in wrestling for the first time you were somebody that you were just being so straightforward and genuine and like no games. It wasn't like whatever. You're just like, look, I'm here to just hang out with you. I know there's this weird thing going on. It sucks, but I'm friends with both of you. It's between you guys. And anytime I bitched, you were like, you just got to talk to her or whatever. And I just respected that so much because nobody, I hadn't experienced that. And I'm going to be honest with you, since then I haven't. That pure, that's what's up. And that's awesome. So I want to, and so in saying that, it's like with men especially, but I do it with women as well, like with that friend, you know, I put these expectations and I shouldn't do that. And it's hard not to, because when someone makes you feel good and there's this like awesome connection, it's really hard not to be like, oh, they would never do that or they would never do that. But everyone has their own story and everyone has their own way they deal with things. And I know I've dealt with things in the past.
Everyone is also capable of hurting others in some form or fashion. So it's okay to kind of, like, you can be very attached to people in a healthy way. But I know something that has helped me in my relationships with friendships, dating-wise, even with relationships in my family. I'm like, everybody has the potential to hurt me in some way or fashion. So at the end of the day, it's about my reaction that's gonna make me survive it and have healthy relationships, period.
Amen. You know, that's so awesome for you to say, because I don't know if I told you this, but when was it? Like 2.5 weeks ago, I went to a funeral for somebody that passed in my family. And it was somebody who, unfortunately, like, I'm not trying to be a bitch, but they were never nice to me. And it kind of messed me up, especially because it was a female. So like, it messed up. It added to this like whole thing since I was a girl. So it was a really weird thing to deal with. And so I knew I had to go to the funeral. And I knew I was going to see people that are in my family that are freaking... I'm just going to say that. I'll bleep it for you too, because I don't know. But... And I had to stand up, but keep the peace, but do what was right. And it was crazy because when I looked at this person, this individual, they're like, just tell me what I did wrong and I'll apologize. And then I'm like, that sounds good and all, but oh, sure. Okay. Like,
yeah.
Really? And here's the thing that got me so upset. Okay. So at first they were like, you know, I'll apologize, blah, 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 and they're supposed to be this like Christian now, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to at least be open to like, they're down to have a conversation that needs to happen. So when they were doing it, all of a sudden they're like, you know, we have your picture in our house and we're so proud of your wrestling. And I'm like, oh my God. So here we go with the wrestling thing. And I said, really? You guys could have fooled me because none of you get back to me. You all ignore me. What? What? No. None of you. You all ignore me.
I could talk for hours about that kind of phenomenon. I could talk for hours because I have... Like, I have my younger brothers. They just moved out to San Diego. And when I say this, I'm probably going to sound like a cunt. But, like, I'm really hurt is what it is. So, my younger brothers, they have a reggae band. You like reggae. I will still put them over. You should look them up. They just moved to San Diego to continue pursuing this. They're doing really great. But I have not really heard from them in the past year or so, especially since I moved from the beach in North Carolina to the city in Charlotte. But I hear through other family members, oh, but they love you. They're so proud of you. They're so proud they have a professional wrestler as a sister and this and that. Okay, so this wrestling thing ends up being an object that they use to feel either connected to me in a false way, because it's like, oh, they're not really gonna spend the time to have a relationship with you. They're gonna tell other people, I'm so proud of my wrestling sister. So it's about you. It's about them. So when you just told me that story, I was literally like, my trauma, like, brain was like, ooh, I know, girl.
I know, you know, and it's been crazy because, and here was what's so awesome. So where all of that was, it's like where I grew up, which is about an hour out of LA. And so the following weekend, same Saturday, I had a photo shoot where I do these, Danielle and I go to these shootouts where it's a bunch of models, a bunch of photographers, you take a bunch of pictures. It's really awesome. And this group in particular, all the girls are awesome. Nobody's catty. It's like, it's amazing. It's a good time. And so it was really cool to like go back to my hood and like, because that's where it was. Sorry, I skipped that part. Went back to that the same area where it was probably like 10 minutes from where the funeral was. So it was like to be back there, but like kind of owning my energy and reflecting back. But because I've had photo shoots to worry about and my content, it's like I've been like sporadically being able to like, okay, I got to process this. I don't want to push it away. But I feel that it started taking a toll on me last week. And that's when like I started to shut down, and then with my hormones, and last month I had my period twice, and like one day was longer than a week. So I've been going through it.
That's stress. Yeah.
It's just been crazy. And I don't know. I think it's cool because like life brings me together. Like here you're telling me, wow, like you're opening this. It's like, life always connects me with people who we're supposed to connect, and we're supposed to share our story the way we do, like us. We're over here talking shit. And so, I don't know. I appreciate you and I love you. And I'm just so grateful that you're down to come on here and talk some shit with me online.
I am very prepared. I got the stimulant and the alcohol.
So I shared that rumor about me. Have you, like, you got to share a horror, let's keep it wrestling related because that's our audience, let's be honest.
I've got a rumor about me that I don't think I've shared before. I don't really talk about it. And it's always something that tickled me because I think I know who started it and I don't want to get into it because they're irrelevant. But when it got back to me, I was actually really hurt because I was actually really striving to be healthy at the time. And to me, what I was doing was actions towards that, and they used it to start a rumor. Let's go. So I had the Impact tapings, the Knockout pay-per-view in 2017. And then I think I did like two or three more episodes that weekend. So it had been a year and a half since my split from Caleb Conley, and he was gonna be there. And I also needed like new kick pads. So like I texted him, I was like, can you make me some kick pads and bring them? Like everything was cool. When I walked into the Impact locker room, he was one of the first people that saw me. He came up to me, gave me a big hug, and he said, I miss you. I'm like, I miss you too. And that was the first time that I was starting to feel a release from the stress of the split. I was very distraught. I am not gonna even bullshit that. I was very distraught. So for the first time, I was like, this is okay. This is okay. We were there all day. All day. From the pay-per-view to the other episodes that we filmed at Universal. And I had a break and he went to catering. I went along with him. I ended up giving him my pit bull Harlot. And I kept my older dog, Leela. So I was like, how's Harlot? Like, just wanted to catch up. To me, I was just catching up with an old friend. That's it. Like this, like me and you, we were just catching up. And I'd go over there, ask him something about wrestling. What should I do for my match? Can you help me? I was really looking for guidance because for a long time, he was also my wrestling trainer and mentor. Why would I not? Why would I not? And even later, I heard that he was talking to my roommate at the time who came along. She wasn't on the show, but she came along and was like, hey, I'm not there to help her. So she help her for me, like help me helper while we're not together anymore. He had very nice things to say. So the rumor is that I was crazy and I kept following him around like a puppy dog and just very crazy ex-girlfriend type of vibes they were putting into it. And when it got back to me from someone that was like, people are saying this, I don't really think it's true, but I kind of want to make sure that you're okay. And I was like, that's not at all what it was. What? So I'm supposed to just ignore somebody because of a rough breakup or whatever the hell happened? No, but instead of being healthy and trying to attempt a normal friendship, a civil friendship, a business friendship, because I was asking him about wrestling tips and advice. Now I was following him around the Impact locker room. Cool. I was already in a really bad place at the time. Very, very, very bad. I was switching antidepressants. Like they couldn't regulate my brain chemicals at the time. So I was really struggling to be as stable as possible. And then add that when I was trying to make active steps towards my healing, honestly, like screw those people who said that and decided to essentially make me look insane and unstable would you agree that that's like a healthy interaction?
Absolutely. And here's the thing. I've seen more times than not the opposite. When you have a couple that end up breaking up, especially if there's like ugly details to why there's a breakup. So it's like, I've seen people like be real ugly, and sometimes they're bringing drama to locker rooms, and like the locker rooms are now effed up. So the fact that not only were you being cool, but the fact that you were also like being genuine and like, okay, well, how are you doing, whatever, and putting that personal stuff aside, it's like, I don't know. And it almost makes me wonder if whoever said this stuff about you, it's just such foreign behavior that they didn't know what to do with it. So the best thing they can do is just like make it seem like you were being this crazy person and blah, blah, blah. And that's what I feel was part of what made me not like wrestling, was seeing things like this happen, whether it be to other people or to myself. It was like, why is this going on? Like, there's no drama, so people just create the drama. And that's just too exhausting. Yes. And then in your case, it's extra exhausting because this isn't just like a guy you share a locker room with or you were friends with. This is somebody you have like a full on relationship with. So there's like a lot that comes with that. And then on top of it, you got your whole other, aside from him, because yes, you exist aside from him, this whole other thing going on. It's a lot. And so it makes me sad that people weren't like, oh, you know, she was actually really cool, that's awesome. Or, oh, she was cool, didn't they have to give you praise? Oh, she was cool. Or, oh, you know, whatever, it was fine. Like, why?
They didn't say that I was following the other people, because he wasn't the only person that I talked to multiple times throughout that day. I had other people around me, my other friends that were an Impact at the time. Why aren't you making up a rumor that I was following them around? Because it's more convenient and more convincing to say that about my interaction with Max.
Man, it just makes me, like, I'm not saying this is the case because this is the first you're sharing, I'm hearing it, but it just makes me think about like, when it's almost like, even behind the scenes on like the independent level, there's this like narrative of like who's what. This person plays this character. It's not ending at the ring. It's like the behind the scenes, like, oh, that's the cheater guy, she's the one sleeping with him. Like, it's this whole drama, this cast. Everyone becomes a cast of people.
Yes. And this is what fans don't get to see this part. These are the gimmicks that we see working with these people. And I think the most sad about it, most sad is that these people that put these characters and reputations on certain people they don't give people a chance to change or grow. Because I know that every year I'm totally a different person. Did you know me last year and not this year? Okay, then you don't know me. So when we're putting these stereotypes and reputations and characters on people, me being one, I am someone that changes a lot. So if I was if I was unstable or really depressed or dealing with anxiety or with my post-traumatic stress disorder at the time and I didn't have a handle on it, well, guess what? It's totally different now. You wouldn't even recognize me. So these same people, they're just fucking assholes.
And you know what's interesting? I think because I have people like you in my life, you know, or, you know, another person is Francine, I would say. Like, I've watched that happen, like, from the how our conversations are and, like, how they change or whatever, but we're still connected, and I love that. So it's like I've been on the spectrum before where it was like I felt everyone changed. And so when I saw people were the same as it ever was, like that song, same as it ever was, same as it ever was, that's when the characters, they didn't evolve. Like when I'm like, oh my gosh, so-and-so's still over there pulling this, and oh my gosh. And then online, it seems like there's somebody completely different. And then I'm thinking, here's an example. I won't name names, but like I've asked somebody before, I'm like, you know, how is it behind the scenes now over there at WWE? Because they were with WWE. And they were like, you know, it's the same. And this was a couple years ago, so I can't say for what's going on right now. I'm not talking about now. It could change. I don't know. But at this time, it's like I needed to hear that because I still was kind of like rubbed wrong by certain people. And so to hear that they didn't turn into this total family person or whatever the case is, you know, that they're still at their antics. And it's like, and here's the thing, it's not even me judging them. It's like, that's sad because now you do have a family and things have changed. So it's time to like maybe get into some therapy or read some good self-help books or something to help understand why you keep doing this, you know, because I've done that. That's what I've done, you know, and I'm a person that I haven't been to therapy since I was like a teenager. But what I do is I seek out books to be like, why am I this way? And then when I talk to my friends that relate, they're like, have you read this book? I'm like, oh no. And then that's how it goes. So it's like, it makes me sad that now there's full on families and like, and it makes me feel like you're the, when we were young wrestlers, we saw those older guys doing this and now you're them.
Yes. And I think like with a lot of these certain people that do not change, there's some ignorance there where they're not seeing how their behavior affects their now reality. Like you said, some of them have families now and they're still acting like they did 20 years ago. It's an ignorance, or at least maybe they're not ignorant and they're actually making an active choice, which is worse.
And it's like, we can't say, we don't know these situations. So like, we can't say whatever, but it's one of the two. It's one of the two. You know what I mean? It's like, it's one of the two. And the thing is I was thinking of somebody, I'll text you right now who I'm talking about.
Gotcha.
Okay. So this person, like, I just never got a good vibe from, and I tried really, really hard because it seemed like everybody that I was at least cool with, like maybe I wasn't all buddy buddy, but like people that I was like cool with and I like working around or whatever, I would observe them and I liked how their energy was backstage, you know, like okay, cool. So they all seemed to kind of like this dude, and so I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just being a bitch. Maybe I'm just a bitch, and I'm just like, I don't know what it is because he is not my type at all. So it has nothing to do with some kind of weird, like anything like that. So it's like, you know, this person has caused mental health issues for a lot of people. And there's a lot of people that are effed up out there because of this person. And what's interesting is I got into a very heated conversation with this person once, and this scares me, but because I can't recall like when this has happened to me before other than this instant, and it wasn't Batista. I went up to this person and I was upset at something they had said, so I confronted them, and I just remember when their reaction was like to tell the person that, like, there was another wrestler near us, oh, take control of her or whatever, something like that. It was like, that made me snap. And I got in this person's face and I said, I was just like this. And I was like, you know what? And I said, I remember the first sentence I said, and then I blacked out. And so it wasn't until years later, I realized that it wasn't just because of the Batista thing I got fired. It's because I had a couple different incidences where I confronted some people backstage, and like, to me, it was just like, now looking back, I was just showing some boundaries. These are these boundaries that I have, you know, and they didn't like it. And I felt like where I grew up, like, if you don't say your boundaries like that, you're going to get effed with, and I'm not going to let that happen. So I was showing my boundaries, and I got into it with a couple different people. And so when I see this person, I saw some kind of commercial that they were on not too long ago. And so, oh no, I'm sorry. On YouTube, it recommended me watch some interview that they did. And I was like, and it seemed all positive vibes. It seemed positive vibes. So it was like, maybe they changed. And I was like, maybe they changed and this would be cool. Like, maybe now because they're a family person, they've changed. And so I kind of skimmed through it. I was like, I don't mean to sound like a bitch, but I think that he hasn't really changed. And so to hear this person hadn't, last I checked, it was just like another one of those, that's what secretly eats me up, because I see these people on my feed and I know people say, don't let it bother you. And I'm not saying this person disrupts my peace. It's just for that moment, I'm like, I can just vomit right now on how fake and phony this is, because it's all packaged well.
Dude, I could never just like not let it bother me. I don't think that's a real thing. Why do people say that? Because to me, if you had a certain interaction with somebody and it really did affect you a certain way, even if the mention of their name is going to be like, ah, the name. Don't let it, it's kind of like chill out. Chill out. Okay, thanks. Didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Try that.
Well, here's the thing. I was just in this conversation with Danielle about it. When I kind of throw out my feelings out there on the Twitter, there's some people that are in my life and they're really awesome people, and kind of like with the positive vibes with Nemeth, right? They'll be like, oh, you know, don't look at it this way and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I got that, but that's why I'm able to talk about it now online. It's not in a text privately or a phone call. It's online, so I'm able to talk about it. So it just makes me feel though, like, but it took me to have to feel all the ugly feelings, the uncomfortable feelings, to finally get to the point. And just like with positive vibes, I wasn't ready to hear it yet. I was pissed. And then it rang in my head and it served my purpose. But that's why I like to tweet out there, even if I'm over something, or maybe I just a little bit, it does affect me, because maybe it always will, but it doesn't take me prisoner anymore, you know? Like, I can joke about me and Batista all day long. Hey, Batista, you want to wrestle? Like, you know, let's finally settle the score. You know, I don't care, but there was a time I could not. Ooh, I could not joke like that because I was so hurt. But I think it's funny now. But like,
which, have you noticed, y'all have both left the business.
But did he really? He will always be. Yeah, I think he's a lifer.
He's a lifer, but he got into Hollywood with his movies. So maybe, honestly, good for him, because that sounds like a great idea. Like, I would love to do that. I don't want to wrestle anymore. It hurts.
I saw that tattoo on his chest. Crazy. But anyways, So, you know, I don't know. That's why, like, when I get these moments where it just kind of bothers me, because here's the thing. Like this person I'm talking about, it's not like I had this huge, crazy, like, it's crazy to me. I blacked out, though, and I don't know what I said. And I'm very sure that.
So mad you saw red. Like,
I saw black. I next thing I know, like, somebody was pulling me away. So I don't know. And you know what? Now that I think of the timeline, that was shortly before the Batista thing. So I was on thin ice and I didn't know it, because I didn't, like, I've talked about before, I was busy chasing around this guy that wasn't Nemeth at that time. But, like, I was trying to chase this guy that I wanted to be my boyfriend. So I didn't know anything. And that's why I'm dying to know. I said it before. Like, what was said about me? Like, when I confronted this person I texted you about, what was said? Like, what was said about me? They're probably like, who's this bitch? She's here for 2 seconds and she's telling you what? And I don't even know what the what is. I don't even know what it is. But, you know, poor Batista, I'll say this. Poor Batista. I have been, like, throwing him under the bus all these years, saying it's because Batista got fired. No. That was just the last straw. But, you know, so sorry about that, Dave. Here's the thing. I made one of my smoothies, my medicated smoothies. And when you were talking about, you know, that rumor that was said about you that you had to set straight, that's when it started hitting me. So now it's really, like, in full effect.
I am, and so glad, because I think this is my second. So I'm feeling really
right there with you.
Man. What I wanted to say too, because what I was thinking about you having to show your, like, tell off people to show your boundaries in regards to things in wrestling. I feel like maybe, like, old school days, which I got to see some of that, right? It was about veterans pushing your boundaries to see if you would take it. Does that make sense?
It does. And you know what? I guess, like, because, okay, you're taught this, right? But until you just said it and it, like, connected right now, that's what was going on. Because that person that I text you, he was a huge name already at that time. You know what I mean? And I'll text you who the other person I yelled at this person because they were rude to me.
I got so many good stories when you're done with this one. Because I was, oof, okay. Heard.
I think I've talked about this on my when I have my podcast with Stoner Jesus, which is still on hiatus. Who knows, it'll come back. So if people really want to dig, they can go find it. But this person was really rude, man, because they were known for being a person that had turned their life around. And so I was like, awesome. And at that time, I was very into the religion that they were into. So I was like, oh man, the Lord's just been blessing. This is how I looked at it. Wow, the Lord's such a blessing that, like, this person who's like such a huge name, like, that's so cool. I can connect with somebody on, like, and go for them for guidance, because, like, it's hard. It's hard being a Christian. You're like, you know, my gosh. And so, especially I'm a vampire, I look like I'm not a Christian, you know? So I'll never forget when we were going into a meeting, and I remember this person was standing next to Triple H, and they were shaking everybody's hand before we go into the conference. And when I went to shake his hand, he had some chapstick, and he just, like, looked the other way and started putting his chapstick on. And I just went, and then the person was like, don't, behind me, I don't even know who it was. I hope that this story gets out so I can find out who it was. If this is you, please tell me. I won't ever say your name. I pinky swear. Like, you could sue me for the $5 I have in my bank account. Like, I will not say your name. So somebody behind me goes, just keep going, just keep going. Just, and I was like, oh, and I was like, you know what? That's real fucked up. And I said, I worship the same God as you. And then I walked away. And then I just remember the person behind me, like, I don't know who they were. It was a guy. I just kind of pictured them in my head just going like, oh,
oh yeah.
That was so hurt that, like, I thought the Lord brought me together with a brother in Christ to help guide me in this crazy world of entertainment. I'm in my 20s. No, not 1%. And I was never even a fan of this person. I was a fan that he loved Jesus and turned around. That's what I was a fan of. You know what I mean? Because his wrestling always got on my nerves. No offense. Like, I never cared for it. Me and my friends used to make fun of him when we would have our, like, wrestling watching parties. But I became the little Christian that I was at that time, was a fan for life when I knew he was a brother in Christ.
What a disappointment.
I know.
What is
so that was before the first person I text you their name. So the timeline goes, the person I just text you about, and then the person that I blacked out, and then Batista. So it was a trifecta. And they said, this bitch is gone.
That's rough. That's rough.
What is That's she rough. Doing? You know what I was doing? I was putting on a damn good show. That's what I was doing.
This is so funny. Like, you and me are so similar because we both just did not give a fuck who was who, and we saw everybody as people. I still do. And when I came into the scene, little baby ACR, I started getting around that I was, you know, an adult entertainer, a stripper. Oh my God. Right? Big deal. And they were, I feel like the chicks a lot, the veterans were kind of like treating me like, don't you just want to model or things like that? Which, yes, I do want to model also. Okay. But like, as if I wasn't going to take wrestling seriously, I was using it as like an ego boost or something, whatever. They didn't want to believe that I was into wrestling for the sake of wrestling. But eventually, the one person who, I'm not going to name them, I will actually text it to you real quick so you know.
Technology, we love you sometimes.
I am. So she was going around going, oh my gosh, you heard AC is a stripper? Like, it was so just controversial, so controversial. And to the point where people started treating me badly because of it. And eventually we were doing a custom shoot together in Tampa. And when I heard that she was doing that, I just kind of, cause she was always nice to me, to my face. We were very cool right now, by the way, very, very cool. But we had to get there. And so I pulled her aside and I was like, hey, I heard that you learned that my shoot job is stripping. I've been doing it since I was 18. I've been doing it longer than wrestling. And if you have any questions about it, I'm more than welcome to answer it for you. You know, we're adults. You can ask questions about it. And her face was like that. Stunned. Here is this baby wrestler talking to her like an adult. Like, you got questions? You can ask. You don't have to go around saying these things. Because for you to spread it that way, there's some sort of ignorance in what I do, right? And from then on, she really did respect me because my boundary was pushed. I stood up for myself, and then she realized not to make it a big deal again. So that's one story. This other one I like to tell a lot. I also very much like this person to this day. I'm gonna text you. Okay.
Not familiar.
It's okay. No biggie. But we were doing Shine. She's been around a long time. She's known to be a total B. She's kind of hard on everybody. But I see her ways now. I was doing a tag match against her. And twice in the match, she goes to boot me in the face. I mean, she really almost broke my nose. She really did. There's no way that someone, this veteran of this caliber, would do that on accident. even after the match, I had other people, like the commentators, be like, "Are you okay? Is your face okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine." So after the match, what I said was, "Hey, thank you so much for the match. Handshake." I noticed that you kind of got me in the nose a couple times. Are you upset with me? Did I do something wrong? What could I have done better? Again, this person was like, because what do they expect new wrestlers to not say anything or to cry about it? I'm getting beat up, right? I didn't do that. That's what I said. Did I upset you? What could I have done better? And she had just said, no, you did wonderful. You did great. And since then, she has had my back. She's had my back. So I do feel like in regards to this business, push the veterans, pushing boundaries to see what you can take. I think it really matters what your reaction is sometimes. And I'm kind of glad that I went through it because it really built the character that I am today. I feel like I have this really thick skin. Like nothing can bother me now. But at the same time, it's kind of fucked up.
Really? She could have hurt you like big time. Okay, so real quick, I want to make sure that I do this. I want to take a shot of this, even though I'm out of my mind on this edible.
This looks. We're both starting to get out of our minds. I think it's okay.
Just a little bit, just a wee bit, because I don't mean to bring the party down, but today is the year anniversary of Fred passing.
Oh,
I know. I think I should do something. And he used to be in here with me before I had this all fixed up, and I would just have a dream. And here's what's funny: when I was wanting to adopt my dog now, Minnie, I would like picture her being in here and me filming and her walking around. It's like, as they say, I manifest Minnie into my life, and now she's a big part of my life.
Where is Minnie right now?
Well, she was just running around. Now she's in the house. But all right, this is
to say it again
to Fred Mertz. Ooh. Maybe that's why it's called cuckoo.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about your own obsession with The Simpsons. So mine is, funny enough, Futurama with the same creator.
I love Futurama.
Yeah, I named my dog after Leela. Her name was Leela.
Oh, that's so cute. You know what I love about Futurama is, like, I know it well, but I don't know all the episodes. When one sneaks by that I haven't seen, it's like such a cool feeling that I get to feel like, oh, this is the first time. Or maybe I had seen it, but I didn't really remember. Like, maybe I wasn't paying attention or whatever. But that show was really effing funny. Like,
Hulu's bringing it back.
Oh, are they?
They're going to have new episodes.
Oh, I hope it meshes well, because I was just talking about this, I think on a Martinez Girls Radio, about how when I love that show, Arrested Development. Are you a fan of that show?
I watched it sparingly. It's good.
So when it ended, where they got canceled, I was one of the people like, bring it back. But like, so much time had gone by that I feel like it just wasn't the same. Not just because they were older. It was just like they were out of practice from like being so like rehearsed and on it. And then all this time goes by. So I hope with Futurama, but it's like different. It's voice acting. It's just a different approach. So I'm sure it'll be fine.
A lot of the actors are reprising their roles. I think the only one that is not is Bender. Oh. Apparently this is happening like live right now. Like they're recasting, they're figuring out who Bender's going to be because the original voice actor is not going to be a part of it, which breaks my heart because I love Bender. His name is Bender Bending Rodriguez. So that is my cousin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that when he goes, "I'm Mexican," and he opens it. Oh my gosh. So, hold on a second.
Yeah, tax this popular?
I know. It's Danielle, my sister. Ooh. I'm so popular. Oh. Hold on one second. I just love, now I know that's why her name's Lila.
Mm-hmm. Her name is Lila Sativa Rodriguez.
I think, though, like, she's 10 now. I mean, I think she's going to be one of those pit bulls that live quite a long time.
Yes. Choo, 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 choo.
Yeah, she. You would think she's 4 or 5 with the way she acts and her activity. Yeah. But I think as much as I love pit bulls, because my boyfriend, he has a black pit bull still with his parents in New York. But when we have, I'm trying to buy a condo right now. So when we like move in, we're gonna have 2 pit bulls at the time. But after Lila passes and then eventually his dog, I think I'm gonna take a dog break and then get a little dog.
It's helpful having a little dog. Really helpful.
Having dogs. And I'm a big person.
And I am too. I grew up with big dogs and I have little dogs here and there, but mostly they were like bigger dogs. And what I love is going back to Danielle and I going to our old hood. Well, she left her phone at the shoot. So we had to go back a third time. So that third time we were able to at least make a thing of it. On my Instagram, I did an Instagram story. You guys got to follow me on there. I'm more active on there now. Shelly from Cali 4. We were able to go to the cemetery and put some flowers from her family there. It's really important to me. And then we found this really awesome sushi place and we didn't know it was going to be awesome, but there was like no outside seating. So I have this little purse that Minnie has and it's like a carrier. And so she's so good. I just zipped her. No one knew nothing. She was just on my little booth, like right next to me. She just went to sleep and it was like so awesome because I didn't have to worry about her being in the car or being left home for so long because it is a hike to like get there. So yeah, it's really easy to have a little dog.
And now I'm like traveling a lot more in this part of my life to where I mean, I've had to get Lila put on as an emotional support so I can fly with her, but she is my emotional support animal. But I'm kind of seeing the benefit of getting a small dog that I can also fly comfortably with. I don't feel safe putting dogs in cargo. I don't agree with that. No one's watching them. I'm sorry. Dogs, even though they are legally property, to me, they're family. And I wouldn't put, Shelly, I wouldn't put you in the cargo. You know, like, so little dog's going to have to be where it's at for now.
Yeah. It's helpful when, especially when you have that kind of lifestyle, you know? And like even with the Mertzes, I had 2 of them and it was a lot because I had 2, but it was easier than like having a big dog or whatever. But anyways, so before we get going here, we got to hear a story from you about like a Valentine gone wrong or something of that nature or some kind of disappointment or your worst Valentine's.
My worst Valentine. I mean, basically is not having a Valentine. I was never invited to prom. I was always that type of person, never invited to prom. I did always have a boyfriend somehow, it's most of my life. But with Valentine's, I never had anyone really show up for me, if that makes sense. So now that my boyfriend is home from work, he's got his work covered for him tomorrow.
Yay!
I have other types of horror stories in regards to dating and not specifically Valentine's Day, but I do wish that Valentine's Day meant something a little more. I know when me and Caleb were together, we were both chasing wrestling. So money was not as expendable as it is now in my life. So a lot of times our Valentine's Day dinner was, which wasn't a bad thing. It was, you know, cooking a steak at home and just having a glass of wine and watching Futurama or something like that. But I'm hoping this Valentine's Day is so much better where me and my boyfriend can go ahead and get like a real reserved dinner. I've never had that. Oh. Never had that.
You deserve it.
Thank you. I'm in my 30s, damn it.
You deserve it. And that's the thing with like, I think you bring up an interesting point. Like, when you're in wrestling, especially if you're a couple in wrestling, which happens so much, even though you try not to sometimes, you know better, it just happens. And so when you're 2 people chasing it, it's so hard. And I feel that that world just consumed you so much that when you are a girl that does want to feel some romance on Valentine's, a lot of these guys, they're so like not even thinking that they're not going to be romantic if it like if romance kicked them in the ass. Like, it's like, and so for me, it was interesting because I would date wrestlers, but then there was these other like guys that would date in between that were still in, you know, entertainment, but, and maybe because they were older too, it had something to do with it. That's when I started having real experiences when going out and like, versus it just being, and like you said, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like, it could be more, put some effort. Like, why is it just like a Friday night? Like, that's a Friday night. Like, this is Valentine's Day.
You know, I got this big match coming up, blah, blah, blah.
Like, you know, it's always wrestling.
Yes. Like, me and Caleb at the time, I'm sorry. Look at this dog. She needs to be
guy. Oh, my goodness.
Lila. Hi, Lila.
Oh, my goodness.
You have anything to say? You have anything to say? No. You just want attention.
You just want attention.
So, me and Caleb, we were much younger. We were in our 20s. And at the time, we were both chasing wrestling. I'm with a wrestler now. And now he runs a promotion in New York. And I'm starting to run a women's promotion. I'm working on that first show now here in Charlotte. So we're at different parts in our wrestling career to where I feel like we have more control of what we'd like to do in wrestling. I'm purposely, I don't take bookings. I mean, I do. But I'm very, very picky, which in wrestling means you're not taking bookings. So, which is nice. Side note, I feel like a lot of people who are like, that think that, you know, oh, somebody's not booked, they don't think it's a choice. And they think, oh, you need to, oh, I saw somebody on Facebook say something about, all these wrestlers that don't get booked are now starting promotions. And I kind of was like, that I just announced my show, you know? And I was like, that's not the case. That's not the case. I'm at a different point in my career. So.
And here's the thing. I think that is so effing cool. But these people who are being like, catty about it, because that's how it's coming off. I don't know if that's what they're trying to do, but that's how it's coming off. It's like they're so in tune with like what they want in wrestling. They assume that everyone, they think that what they want out of wrestling, you want it. So, oh, you must not get booked, therefore you're just gonna and it's like, no, dude, you know, not everybody cares about like being on the road 24/7 and like whatever, whatever. You know what I mean? It just, it makes me want to puke that these people are so quick to like make a post. It's one thing if they privately felt that, but they make a post, so they're putting it out there for us to discuss. And it's like, you can't for one second think that maybe there's other people who don't care about wrestling as much as you do. It exists, but still care about wrestling. And it's still attention. It's still your attention. You want to, oh, gross.
It's anyway. Just, it's very selfish way of thinking because, look, I'm in my 30s. I'm not going to be chased. I've been doing this 10 years now. Why am I going to be acting in a way as if I'm still chasing it? When I realize, I joke and say, I know everybody in wrestling. I remember a Rebbe telling me one time, she's like, you know everybody in wrestling. I was like, God, I really do. So I'm at this point where I'm so connected. I have so many friendships that have become family to me. And I have worked for various companies. To say 10 years later that I'm still chasing wrestling is a disservice to how I see myself. It's almost disrespectful. I'm not chasing it. Wrestling is what I do. There's different ways to be in the industry. Not only that, there's different positions. I do strongly believe that anyone who is trained in the ring and understands it and does it quite well should venture out of just doing matches. Okay. So you have the wrestlers, you have refs, because refs are usually previous wrestlers. You have agents and producers, you have promoters, you have bookers.
there's different various positions in wrestling that are not just trying to take bookings. Somebody has to create those bookings. And I prefer that it be someone who understands wrestling because they've done it before, rather than a fan with money wanting to play Vince McMahon.
Amen, sister. And I send you nothing but positive freaking vibes all day long on that, because I know how much you love wrestling so much, you know, and something that I feel that's made us want to pursue putting energy towards each other and maintaining a friendship all these years, because it is work. You got to check in, you know, you got to have conversations. And so it's like something I've always respected is, from what my journey in with wrestling, I saw a lot of people that like I thought I connected with because we were looking at wrestling the same way, and like, oh, you know, yeah, they know how it is, and having those kind of talks. But then as soon as the opportunity would come, it's like they threw that all out the door and became what we just talked about that sucked. And with you, every time, I've seen you continuously work and go where you want to, and having matches and being a part. And now you're building this thing because it's lacking. Let's just be honest, like that's lacking. So, okay, why not take that opportunity? It's a lot of work. You're willing to do it. And you have so much to offer because you're freaking awesome. And it's not because you're just like, we're born to be this. It's like, no, because who your soul is, you found your passion. So you couldn't help but wanting to eat, breathe it. But when you saw what, you were just like, oh, so let me just take care of this then. Let me just do it over here then.
Mm-hmm. And I see so many, like, first of all, side note, I deleted my Twitter because that crap got so too toxic for me. I will never be on Twitter again. But I was always seeing a lot of people in the business or even fans saying there needs to be more women running wrestling or in that form or fashion, agenting, producing, whatever. And then if someone were to tell me, oh, you're not taking bookings, ma'am or sir, I am creating the bookings. And not only I'm not having one match for my show. This is not my match. I'm having 6-7 matches. And those are my matches. I may not be wrestling on them, but I'm creating it. So you're even more involved with wrestling behind the scenes. I mean, this promotion, I'm building it from the bottom up. And I mean, down from like the production to getting sponsorships to getting everything booked. That's all me. And it was all my money, my poor wallet. But at the same time, like, I'm not doing it out of ego either. Like, this show is not about me. I could give two shits. I'm happy. I'm a happy person. This show is about women's wrestling and it being done right. So if anyone has anything to say about it, because I can't get booked because they don't see me booked currently, eat it. Because for everyone to say, oh, I wish women were in more power positions in wrestling, then do it. Do it. I just did it. I just decided to take the reins and take a control of it. Just do it. We don't always have to be just wrestling.
And here's the thing. Whether it be in the custom world or in the professional wrestling world, there's been times where I thought going into whatever company that was I was working for, when I found out a woman was in charge, it made me excited. I was all on board and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Like, yes, let's do this. I will go above and beyond because I want to be a part of, like, let's do it right. And aside from one company that's actually a custom company called Modest Moms Wrestling, shout out to them, they all disappointed me. Maybe it took some time for a while, but they all the other ones disappointed me heavily at one point. And like, so when you had shared with me this is what you wanted to do, I was like, you're the perfect person to do this because I've seen you by watching what you put out there online. And then from our private conversations for years, I've seen you eat shit and people screwing you over and people being assholes to you. And I know how that feels. And it sucks. And it's like, you, that's why you're perfect for it, because I feel that happened to you so that you were exposed to a side of wrestling that you needed to see. Maybe sometimes people, it took them a long time, but from the beginning, they were after you. They did not want you there.
No.
They were after you. They were after you. So from the beginning, you got to see what was up, you know, and I think that's really powerful. And I feel it's totally in sync of what you're trying to do right now, because that's why you're doing it. So that shit ends at least at your place.
Oh, absolutely. And that's really my goal with this show, is not only just a women's wrestling show. It's called WrestleDex, Wrestle Diva Extraordinaire. Oh, Diva. Oh my gosh, you're going to have booty shaking. No, I'm going to have actual women wrestlers, actual talent. And I'm going to make sure that they get treated with respect and that they want to work there. Because I've had situations where shows that I'm so proud to be a part of, so proud to be a part of, but really, I feel like I'm eating shit just to do it, just to be a part of it. And I'm not getting my voice heard, or even like there are shows where I do for free and I'm like, oh, I have flown a women's champion into the show that I was doing to help out. So I have resources to help out with women's wrestling, and then they forget about me. I don't ask for much. Yeah, I really don't ask for much. I just love wrestling. So seeing how egos, I think it's egos. I call it the Vince McMahon syndrome. This is not a shit on Mr. McMahon. He's created a wonderful company where people can feed their families. So it's not him, but it's mostly how others who start wrestling promotions do it, I think, for the wrong reasons. It's really about them. And this show is, the only bit that it has to do with me is that it makes me feel good to create an environment for my girls to kill it and have a good time. Otherwise, it's not about me. It's also about my chicks and the new ones that are up and coming. I want to leave wrestling better than I found it.
Absolutely. And you know, I feel that you know firsthand how it feels to, like, these up and comers you're going to have and these people. I feel like when you said that, the energy that I felt from it is like people who may not be getting a fair shot because there's those haters and those weirdos and they're always going to be there in wrestling, and you know how to sniff all that out. So it's like, it's going to be so cool to see the girls that come through your space and you guys all create together, because I think it's going to be really effing awesome. Like, I think it's going to be like something people haven't seen before. I think it's going to be something like you haven't. And you're going to be like, this is my prayer for you to be like, oh my God, this is like more than I thought. Like, I couldn't even imagine this. And you're going to cry and it's going to be awesome. And I think that's what it is. And just, I'm excited to continue to watch this journey that you're on. And, you know, because as you know, along the way, when you have these like injustices with wrestling or people in wrestling, you will kind of end up in conversations with other people at the right time. So you know you're not crazy. You know you're not the problem. Because that's what they try to make it seem like, you're the problem. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you're venting to somebody and they're like, me too. And you're like, oh, I knew it.
And that's how WrestleDex started, by the way. I was doing a show, and I actually got to talk to veterans, like my mentors and veterans, and I also talked to up and coming girls, and I really made it a point to get to know, what is going on? How do you feel about this? Like, what's going on? And when I really took the time in the locker room to talk to everybody in different levels of their careers, I was like, something has to change. the new girls are getting shitted on by the old school girls. The old school girls are getting shitted on by the new school girls. And when I really got down to the base of it, the foundation, they need each other. They're asking for each other's help. And there is a disconnect. There's a disconnect. I'm trying to connect that. Because I'm gonna be honest, women's wrestling is almost like its whole separate community from wrestling, all of wrestling. And there's almost like a sense of etiquette and community with the women's wrestling. I mean, I remember I was talking to a mom in wrestling, not like a mother, but a wrestling mom of mine. And she had booked some new girls, and the new girls were telling her, it's very cutthroat. We don't have a sisterhood. And she was like, what? Because that's all we know it to be, is a sisterhood all the time. And with a conversation that this happened in maybe September or October, talking to wrestling mom and talking to the girls in the locker room, I was like, something needs to change. So I'm hoping to create that. And also, I feel like I love wrestling so much. Like, I'm such an artist, like, creative lunatic, that this is my way of putting, like, my wrestling creativity, and not just in a match that I have, but in a whole production. Whole production. Do everything. Because people forget, I not only have wrestling experience, I have show business experience.
That's why you're perfect.
Thanks.
It's meant. It's like everything you did prior to this, even before wrestling, everything leading up, it happened. And then the way you got treated like crap and things you had to go through, that, like, it all lines up and it's all lining up. So that's why when you guys come out here for the WrestleMania weekend, you know, I'm going to be there. And you had to put me on your show.
Please. I want you there so bad. I mean, first of all, you're like a hot commodity these days, because Shelly Martinez doesn't come around much anymore. So please.
I'm very stuck up. The only person I'll come out of retirement for is you. That's it. But I won't go. It has to be in California. That's my only requirement.
Hey, I am 100% planning to run a WrestleDeck show main weeks. So you can, like, special ref too. You don't even have to bump.
I got that ref outfit. I'm an like, when you said that usually refs were wrestlers before, it made me perk up, because I know people probably have seen me out there in my ref outfit and they think, oh, it's just Shelly. Oh, they didn't have a match for her, so they just made her a ref. No, I wanted to be a ref because when I first started, there's this ref. He's in AEW now. I'm so glad he is. His name's Rick Knox. He was in, like, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. So Rick Knox was the referee him and this other guy, Patrick Hernandez, were the referees here in SoCal. So every show from the beginning that I did, they were there. And I always bonded with them. And because I was new to wrestling, I would be so nervous that, like, whenever they were my refs, I knew that, like, no matter what, they had my back and, like, I was okay. Like, I was going to be okay. Like, if I got hurt, if I was in there with Knox or Patrick Hernandez, it's going to be okay. And Rick Knox and Patrick Hernandez, I would watch them not only in the matches I was involved in, but when I would watch them from the curtain or from the watching outside in the crowd, I just saw how much they added. And it was so animated. I'd never seen that really before. It never stood out to me before. Like, I remember Patrick Hernandez in particular. There was some match and, like, somebody cheated and he was arguing with him. And so the heel made him count. So instead of him just going, like, fine, okay, I'll count, he made this face like, oh, I have to count. So, God, one. And he just, like, got in his 2, 3. And then he just looked at him like, there, you happy? And then, like, I just was blown away at that. And then Rick Knox at these shows, how, like, he would connect with the audience. And, like, I just was so taken back. So when the first time, yes, there wasn't a match for me, so they asked if I would rep. And I said, oh, I'm going to get a real cute outfit. Yes, I will do it. And so that was my first time channeling my Rick Knox and Patrick Hernandez. And I fell in love because I saw that there was girls that were nervous and I was helping them be more comfortable, or I'd play off of them, or they would be like, oh my God, I'm lost. And I'm like, it's okay, don't worry. Like, and I started channeling not just that like performance end of Rick Knox, Patrick Hernandez, but how they helped me, because I was scared sometimes. I, oh, you forget, or oh, what's something went wrong. But there they were and they had it, and it made it look believable. And so that's why when you were like, you know, usually wrestler, old wrestlers, it's like, yes, dude, I love reffing. I love it so much.
Me too. I love to ref too. And you are the wrestler's ref. Like, that's why I had texted you. I was like, I need to use you. You are the one. And I don't think there's another woman in your position. It's almost like your own gimmick.
I know. I know. I've been saying this. But, you know, here's the thing. I tried to push it for a little bit, see if I can make some extra money, like, to the bigger companies. They weren't having it. But the thing is, I'm fine with it, because I bet you the reason why is because you're going to be here Mania weekend. You're going to have your show. I'm going to be the ref, and it's going to be freaking awesome. And that's why, like, that's what it's meant for. Because I take my refing serious.
Well, I always said, like, anyone who would look down at someone in a referee position or doesn't think that they're anything is wrong. It's straight up wrong. I would always say that referees are better wrestlers than the wrestlers. A lot of the times. A good referee. I'll say that, because there's bad referees. So, like, I remember doing matches and begging for certain refs to ref my match because I knew they were better wrestlers than me, right? And they don't look like wrestlers. They look like refs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
And when you have a good ref that you jive with, it's better chemistry than the good chemistry you get with another person you're having a match with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I went down. That's being a ref to me was paying forward that. And that was my like little way. Like, you know, people would always be like, oh, you know, you should do this. And I was like, no, I do what I do, and I don't have to explain myself to anyone. So it's like the ref Shelly. So people out there watch my ref Shelly stuff. You know, a lot of that, like, it became a passion of mine because I took with what I learned in SoCal with Patrick and Rick Knox. And when I would get scared when I was like an OVW or whatever, what my go-to thing was, I always grab the ref because I just need that ref. And so I ended up having, like, there was this one ref in OVW, Ray Ramsey. I used to call him Rainbow Ramsey. Shout out to Rainbow Ramsey. Oh, Rainbow Ramsey. And like, I would always use him, and we, I think, ended up bonding because I just would always use him because I was nervous. So I had to use Rainbow Ramsey. Aye, aye, aye.
I'll tell you, a good ref makes the world of difference to, like, your emotional state during a match, to the actual match. World of difference. World of difference. And honestly, makes it harder when you have a new ref. It's not a shot at them. Everybody's new. Yeah. Everyone's at different levels of what they know and understand. But when you have that knowledgeable ref, oh, I call it a wrestlegasm. When things go right in wrestling, it's a wrestlegasm. It's good. You know, as women, you're not going to get there every time you have a match or sex or match or whatever. So when that's why it's the wrestlegasm, because when you get that, you're like, your night is made, your week is made. You're talking about it for the next month.
Absolutely. We're going to get out of here. So tell everybody where they can find your stuff, follow you and all that. I know we did it before, but we've got to do it every time.
Every time, every time. So my website is onlyrizettes.com. You can find my merch and where I'll be there. Instagram.com, ac.rizzy is my Instagram. And guess what, Shelly? There is now a like MySpace, like, coming back. It's not MySpace. It's actually a fan-related website. So spacehey.com. Spacehey.com/ACR.
Well, I'll leave that to you. I'm over it. I'm over all the new stuff. I'm just staying with Patreon and OnlyFans, and that's it. And my main site, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going to be one of those people who are like, oh, the only way you can get, yes, that's it.
I've been doing that. I'm like, the only way you can reach me nowadays is email. Don't text me.
Leave me alone. Oh my gosh, I just seen how blown out I've been this entire time because I left the door open because it was too hot. Oh well, there you go. Well, I'm surely looking terrible over here, but it's okay because I got the dress on. And follow us, you guys, and we'll be back next month with a new Talking Shit. Adios.